Let's continue what we have been teaching. Please, when we finish this series, and then we'll go back to our normal prayer and then confessing the word of God. But I just feel like quickly getting to what we're teaching, conclude it. I don't know whether it's today I'll finish it. But I've been setting some things right. The important thing about Christianity, all right, is for us to know the ways of God. You must understand how God operates. That's why Paul will tell you that concerning the things you wrote me about, these are the commandments that God gave me. I prayed about it, and God revealed something to me. And I'm telling you, he said, but for these other things, the Lord didn't tell me anything, but I have the Spirit of God. Here is my judgment. Are you getting my point? That this is there was a man who understood the ways of God. He knew how God would reason. And that's what Christianity is. God is forming himself into us. So when we're talking about praying for anything at all, right, whatever thing we're doing in life, the most important thing is to understand the ways of God. Now, let me say this. When you utter words, all right, I'm teaching already, but I hope I don't get distracted. All right, let me try and sit on the message. But when you utter words spiritually, it's not just the word, the sound that matters. Do you understand my point? It's the spirit behind those words. Very crucial you get this point. So that if you are casting out devils in the name of Jesus and you are the son, you are a son of Sceva, it doesn't have any effect, even though the words are accurate. You understand? This pronunciation of the word is correct. But it doesn't have any effect because what matters is not the sound, but the spirit behind it. And Jesus said it like this, the words that I speak, all right, he said the flesh, that is, when he says the flesh, it means the sound. You can record the sound of the words of Jesus Christ. That's what they call the flesh, all right? That it profits nothing, doesn't do anything. It is the spirit that gives life. That is, it is the thing behind it. He said, the words that I speak, they contain a spiritual substance that impart life wherever they go. If you read this in Simple King James, it tells you they are spirit and they are life. But what it was saying is that the words have a substance inside them. Anything you are doing in life, that's how it is. There is a substance behind it. And let me emphasize it. It is that substance that counts in the realm of the spirit. Did you hear me? It is the substance that counts in the realm of the spirit. It is not the thing itself. Please, you must... I've left my message now, what I wanted to discuss, but this is just so hot in me right now. Christians have forgotten it, all right? They need to be reminded. It is the substance of what you are doing that counts. It is not the act itself. That's why you don't just copy an act. People say, if you do the same things, we'll get the same result. It's not true. It is not true. If you do the same thing without having the same spirit, you'll get a different result. That's why I keep on emphasizing all the time that the widow of Zarephath got something from Elijah. All right? But if the other widows had heard, I don't know what I heard I said. They had heard that this is the quick way to multiply your food so it does not end. All of them asked, okay, everybody eat until it remains only one portion. When it remains one portion, we'll now carry it and bake bread for Elijah and say, take, man of God, this is half of all that we have left. Now prophesy so that it will not finish. Listen to me. Elijah will eat it and it will finish. You hear what I said? Elijah will eat it and it will finish. Why? Because you will have been doing the same thing, but you don't have the same spirit. I wrote a sermon sometime last year. I said, don't be without the spirit. That's why a lot of times people copy acts of faith. And they don't get any result. Why? It's a copying of the acts. They don't have the spirit of the faith. Are you getting my point? And it's important you have the spirit of faith, like Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's what is called the spirit of faith. If you don't have that spirit, you copy the acts, You will not get anything. That's, I have to say this in many ways so people can understand it. That is why many times when preachers preach and they tell you, all right, this person did this, he got this. Now, if you do the same thing tonight, you will get the same thing. Hear ye the word of the Lord, you will not get anything at all. If you give your last meal at such times, you really prophesied correctly. It is your last meal. You won't get another one. Do you understand my point? Because the person you are copying did not do what you think the person did. What the person did was an outplaying, a spontaneous outplaying of a spiritual thing that was all happening in the person's heart. You understand what I'm saying? Please, that is why we must get the spirit behind everything. It's very crucial we understand this. That's why I say to Christians all the time, stop going around thinking you can give God money and collect back just because somebody else in the Bible did this one and got this one. You've forgotten that when the person was doing it, do you understand? He didn't have this your multiplication attitude at heart. The fellow didn't have it. I discussed it in the book. Great faith can be yours. But that's why I read the whole book. Great faith can be yours. If you haven't read it, you're not my friend. All right? Now, as a matter of fact, read the book, please. In it, I explained why did the widow of Zarephath give to Elijah? Why? Why? There must have been a reason. Because otherwise, the woman was an idiot. You know, a complete, which word now? Very gullible human being. How can somebody you do not know just stop it by the way? Thus says the Lord, give me that food. It will never finish. Either you're not, okay, maybe she didn't live in Nigeria. So, they were not fake pastors that time. If it's to this day and age, say, Pastor, give me the multiplication first, then we'll share it. He said, what do you have to eat it first? Multiply it first, have you? Maybe if you can multiply it, Jesus multiplied bread before he ate anything from it. We are not even sure he ate from it. He just multiplied it. He didn't say, let me eat the portion first. Oh boy, who has the... He said, there's only two boys here that has five loaves of bread and two fish. He said, okay, right, give me one fish and 2.5 loaves. Let me eat it. When I'm full, the rest will multiply. After all, Jesus did not do like that. But if it's today, that's what we'll tell the prophet. As he said, give me the last meal, you go lose. Say, Pastor, don't worry. Multiply it, we share the balance. But of course, the woman didn't live in our time, so I don't know. But otherwise, that was quite a very gullible thing that she did. Somebody would just tell you, give me your food. What if he didn't multiply? You want to extract it from him, belly? You couldn't sue him. What were you going to do? Even if the judge found against him, so right, pay her back 10 barrels of oil. The guy doesn't have. You don't have. I don't believe the woman was gullible. One of two things happened. One, God either pumped into her the spirit of faith, and she understood and knew with a deep knowing that he was telling the truth. Or what I think happened more likely was that, look, listen, oh boy, whether God said or God did not say, you look hungry, and therefore let us feed you. So if you tell her that you are lying, at least we have fed you. And I think that's the attitude Christians should have. And that is the spirit that gave her her result. It wasn't because she was going out looking for how to multiply her food. Everything you are doing in life, you ask yourself, what is the spirit? Everything you are doing in life, you must ask yourself, what is the spirit? I was talking to our brothers the other day. You know, something happened in the place where he was walking. And you know the way it is. You know, people like to curry favor with behavior. You know, Oyinsi is coming. You jump. Good morning, sir. You know, the man is going on the road. You quickly carry his bag. You know, people are trying to be nice to him. Why? The time of appraisal will come. He has to write something good. Do you understand my point? So he walks in that kind of setting. Everybody's doing stuff like that. And he said, no, I will not do it. Because he understood the word of God that promotion does not come from the west or the east, nor from the south. But God is judge. He said, I'm not going to do that. But then in his own situation, he and I now discussed. I said, you know what you are doing? Now you are not doing the opposite. You are not showing, of course, the man interpreted it as lack of respect. You know, this young man does not know how to honor his superiors. And I said to him, I said, the fellow is right. And this fellow is very correct. What you are doing now is that you are showing him disdain. You are showing him dishonor. I know you do not want to do what others are doing because you don't like why they are doing it. I said, but you see, now let me use these words now. You have a different spirit. Do what is right for the right reasons. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. You are not doing it because you want favor from him. And this is the interesting part in the realm of the spirit. God knows why you are doing what you are doing. Listen, to him, nothing is hidden. Nothing is hidden. He knows the inner motive. Say, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind. That's where I start from. You can do what you are doing. I know what you are. That's why I keep on telling Christians. If you think you are paying a tithe so that God will rebuke the devourer, and you are giving so that God can multiply, you are wasting time. I say it all the time, and I'll continue to say it so that you will stop it. You can do the same thing for a different reason. You are wasting time. God can see. Say, this boy is trying to make me do what I like to do by paying me first. It's different from when somebody else. It does exactly the same thing. He says, God, this church has been a blessing to me. This ministry has been a blessing. This work, okay, I believe in it. It's not blessing me personally. Are you getting my point? But I believe in what they are doing. Therefore, I have committed to giving this amount of money to help the work. And God rewards that fellow. Do you understand my point? Because he has the right spirit. When that person says, this person looks like he's anointed, let me sow into his life. And he thinks that I am sowing. You are not sowing. Bible says that sows to the flesh. Sowing to the flesh is the motive he's talking about. You are giving it for what you are going to get. You are sowing to your flesh. You're not really sowing to the spirit. So you see two people go to the same church, the same place, they give to the same person or to the same work. One, in heaven, it records. It sounds there. You know, like Paul was talking about to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, as a sweet-smelling savour, acceptable sacrifice unto God. The other one, bah, nothing. Nothing. And he's diligent, he's dedicated. That's why the series we've been doing on Saturday, I talked about Christ, the final truth. Please, if you were not there, go and listen to it. Because it will liberate you, and you will stop wasting time. That's why I said, actually, there is only one sacrifice remaining that we can give to God, and that is our whole life. Otherwise, Jesus is the final offering. The only offering that is left is you totally. Everything you do is an offering unto God. Are you getting my point? You can't give him money and say, God, here's an offering, do something special. That one has ended with Christ Jesus. The one of, we kill something, we give something, we do something, so that God will respond. That one ended with Christ Jesus. But now, God is accepting our whole life as the offering. So we do things, you know, you don't. Offerings are given to provoke, like we say, something from God. Money doesn't provoke Jack. It does not. If you want to be provoked, you know, if you want God to be provoked on your behalf, carry your whole body and give to him. That's what he said. You must offer your bodies as what? A living sacrifice. As everything you do, everything, all that is, even the desire of your heart is a living sacrifice. So you don't desire that that's not a blessing, in quote now, to God, to his work, to his word, to his will. If you are not sure something is going to please him, don't even desire it. Don't even want it. That's how it is. This thing I want to collect now, how will it please God? If you don't think it will be pleasing to him, don't even want it. I don't want to want it again. That's how it is. Everything we do, it is what is behind it. That is the spirit. And that is what counts. That is what counts. So somebody can go and just say, amen. That amen, you just see thunder, fire, you know, in the realm of the spirit. Power, electricity discharge, power. What did he say? Amen. Another person is there shouting, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke, we shout, we break down, somersault, scatter, die, who, huh, who, who. All the angels are, what's going on there? But the angels are bored, they are tired, they can't hear anything. Why? The fellow is shouting, why? He goes to a church where everybody shouts. So he's learned how to shout. He said, when you want to pray, you shout. He said, when the prayer don't hook, you will get up. He's just doing, there is no persuasion. Are you getting my point? There's no persuasion. The first person they saw that shouted was shouting out of, you know, the way something will grip you. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. That was what made him shout. But he was shouting based on understanding. He was praying, more like, he was praying based on understanding. He was praying based on the knowledge of the power of God that he knows is available. But his flesh is shouting because the thing is hot. Are you getting my point? Some people say, it was that shouting. It was that, look, when you want to pray, you think, I've heard it before, people say, you think you are still praying. You never begin praying. You are still sitting down. You never begin. And the fellow thing is, look, there are people who sat down and moved mountains. They didn't shift, though. They just sat down there. I read the story of one man, William Marion Braham. He wanted to preach. One crazy man came. It was an open air crusade. He said, so the crazy man came to come and scatter his meeting. He said, he just stood on the platform like this. That man was on the other end, though. Fire away. Say, I'm going to attack you. No, the guy's head was not correct. So the man just stood calmly. Only him knew what he was saying. He just said simply, that Satan, you want to embarrass me? No problem. Now what you are going to do now is that you are going to bow. He was talking to himself. He said, you will bow before me in the name of Jesus. He was just whispering to himself. The man was far away. No, maybe apart from those who are close, knew what he was saying. So that man rushed. He didn't shift. He didn't budge. When the man rushed away, he was, he froze suddenly, knelt down there and began to bow. What I'm talking about, the Christians, a lot of people that jump up at night to pray, that's his anxiety. They can't sleep in peace. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. You know, I don't, why did I digress into that? I know where I began from, but I'm just wondering why I sat on it. Maybe a few people came here today. You know, anytime you come, I always know when they come like that. The Lord is good. You believe you say amen? That the Lord is good. That's what I mean. Let me get back to my message. So, I began by trying to explain the fact that whatever it is we are doing, it's the spirit behind it that matters, all right? And the spirit is, okay, the motives, the things that you have in your heart before you begin to do what you are doing, okay? And those are the things that resound in heaven. That's what God counts. So, back to the issue of how to pray for a country. So, we have a nation. We have been talking about it, and I've established a number of things. Number one, I established the fact that it's an assignment, it's a duty that we do for the Lord as believers. Number two, the person praying, we talked about the salt of the earth, okay? All right, very important. The salt of the earth must be the person praying. And number three, I talked about the plowman, the laborer, must labor in what? In hope, in expectation, all right? Not just you're just praying, you actually expect God to do something. That's the way it is. We expect God to do something. Long ago, I heard one man who was praying. So he said that he used to pray for North Korea so that things will change in North Korea and all of that. And every time he's praying and praying and teaching his church of hundreds of thousands of people to pray. And I read this book. He said he has already recorded the message that when in North Korea invade South Korea. He knows they are coming to kill him. So he has recorded the message on how everybody should disappear and run and the church should hide and everything. So I remember I was learning the word of faith that time and I was wondering, excuse me, sir, why are you praying like that? Why are you teaching us this kind of thing? Every day you are praying that God will change North Korea. Are you getting my point? And you are, and then you are recording that, God, in case you don't want to change, when they invade us, I know they will kill me first and then they will destroy the church. And I was wondering, what's going on? I said, this is not good. Well, I understood the problem anyway, because that time communism was very strong. You know, North Korea is a communist country, all right? And in fact, when I was in university those days, they used to teach us that Russia will take over America, that USSR will take over US and turn it to a communist country, and that is the final antichrist. But then when they go, I remember we're preaching this and go, you'll be laughing, just laughing. I mean, when we used to go for Bible studies around 86, 87. I still remember this particular one, Brother Henry used to teach us 86. I mean, I used to be afraid to say, when they now put a gun to my head, say I should deny Christ, now how I go do? Ah, God do. I don't know. This I remember, this was the Lord that communism is coming, it's collecting everybody, just get ready, it's a matter of time. We are going to enter into the tribulation. It's not good to have that kind of attitude. You cannot pray with expectation. You can't. I've heard people say that, you know, things are not going to get better, they're going to get worse, you're going to get worse. You cannot pray effectively. You don't have any expectation. This man said he has prayed. At the end of the day, after all the prayer, he now said that, look, he has recorded a secret message that when all the prayer will not be answered. Do you understand my point? When God has refused to answer the prayer, this is what we are going to do. It's not good. When you are praying, you have expectation. Do you understand? Don't make preparations as if God will not answer you. That's what I'm going to emphasize. That was what I explained last time. Don't make preparations as if God will not answer you. That's what I'm going to emphasize. That was what I explained last time. The plowman must plow in hope. All right? Must have an expectation. You can't be telling me you are praying that country go good, things will be all right, you know, God will bless us, things will be better, and then you run away to go and give your children, you know, foreign passports because that's the only hope they have for the future. I'm not saying it is evil. Just stop coming for that prayer meeting. That's what I'm saying. Just don't bother coming for the prayer meeting. You know, don't dilute the prayers of those who are serious about the matter. Do you understand? Sometimes when you see, you know, some of the evil things that, you know, let me like, some, there are things that people do you don't like. Do you understand? But you're surprised God is not judging them. You don't know that there are certain issues about life that God is looking at and say, let me leave this fellow alone. He may not be a good person, but look at what he's doing. He has more faith in this nation that I love, than many of my people who are not doing what he's doing. Yes, that's it. So if the fellow will prosper, you won't understand why. Because God is rewarding a kind of faith in the fellow. With all their, you know, say, you know, MTN, the vexed person. MTN, don't vex you before. They're very annoying. But there was one thing, I thought about it. One reason why God just showed them more mercy than I would have loved. Is that when they asked the Europeans to come and invest in the country, they refused. MTN carried good money. They didn't have the kind of fear that Vodafone had, BT Cellnet, all those European networks, that they were being begged. Obasanjo was begging them, told Tony Blair, please talk to them. They refused. MTN and Co. brought money, sank it into the economy. The Econet, the fellow they sent to Nigeria, said when he arrived, the day after he arrived, four men carrying AK-47 attacked him. Imagine you just arrived Lagos to come and do business. Next thing, guys block you. It's four young boys who are high on drugs attack you with AK-47. Normally, you should run back home and say that place is dangerous. He didn't leave. He thanked God that he survived. They didn't kill him, but he stayed. Some of those people, they will do some things that are bad. God just said, Michael, overlook. Don't kill him. He has more faith than many of these pastors who have relocated their families to America and come to church with preaching to. If I remember, I did go. I'm going. I'm leaving. God, guy, you're not serious. Okay, I'll just leave the one. I'll hear the one that I feel here. Any of that, I know they hear you again. They don't carry your children scattered all over the world. They are now here preaching to me about what? My friend in Sokoto, Pastor, he did something very interesting. In the height of, you know, this riots, crisis, Boko Haram, all those kind of things, this man went to pastor a church. Of course, he began the church in Sokoto before these things began. In the heat of everything. Everybody, even his church members, were leaving town. People would say, what are you doing there? What will he do? Finally, they say, okay, you stay. There's no problem. But please, your wife and those four beautiful children, send them down. The father-in-law begged him. His own is that. How will I explain? At least, there was no, I'm sure people prayed. And don't think there was no tension there. Tension was at its peak. He knew people that when Jonathan won the last election, there was one man, he only escaped his family because I think Jesus leaked that the neighbors were going to attack him. It's a southerner who had lived in the north for at least 20-something years. So he ran maybe at night. He and his family ran to like maybe their BQ at the back or one doghouse somewhere. And actually at night people came and burnt the building down, thinking he was inside. The man was hurt deeply. These are his neighbors. He has lived with them for decades. Next day he packed and moved down south. My friend was a pastor in the midst of all of this. You know, I'm his friend. If you think I sleep well many of those nights, sometimes when he calls, as I'm answering the call now with prayer and intercession, with groaning that cannot be uttered. And when he calls, he will just laugh. That the neighbors decided to come one day. He lives in an area where they're mostly southerners. They were arranging, okay, we'll get gun, we get this, they get that, they get every kind of thing. They now came to him one day that they are doing vigilante, should come and join. He said, look, he had just finished fasting and praying in church. And then they said, they shouldn't worry, that they should go and do the physical one. He will be doing the spiritual one for them. He said, my brother, that he was too tired. No, so the tension was bad. It's not a joke. Then when the police commissioner called them, they have a division of police over there, maybe the AIG called them for a meeting on how they will secure churches and stuff like that. The following day, a bomb blew up police headquarters. No, I think they had arranged the meeting. I didn't help. He called me and laughed. He said, is that the person that's going to protect me? He said, they will bring bomb detectors to the churches. He said, okay. That's what he told me. He said, okay, now that you have detected the bomb, what next? Okay, if you detect the bomb, so what are you going to do? You know how he responded? In the midst of everything, he organized a 30-day prayer in the afternoon in church. That was his response. Told the church members, everybody. They said we shouldn't come to church again. Now we are going to come to church every day for the next 30 days to pray. Listen, God has to hear some people. You know, in the midst of this, I'm sure he'll go to church, him and his wife. They will be in church every day. If I hear your mouth say, divide this country again, I will personally pray that God should give you stomatitis. You won't eat for 1 week. Because if you know what some people have sacrificed, you open your mouth, divide it. I'll forward an article to you later. Somebody wrote it. It was in this day. This mythical North. This guy is a Northerner. All right? And wrote an article on what you guys in the South call North. Let's even discuss it. I don't know how many of you have seen it. You've seen it? Okay. If you remind me after, I'll forward it. It's this day. It's not a hidden thing. It's in newspapers. But of course, it's online. You can read it online. That was about last week. One of our brothers read and forwarded that around. Beautiful write-up. Beautiful write-up. Beautiful. The guys explained that what you guys call North. When you know some of the things I've been saying, he says, are you sure? This is a Northerner. He's from, I don't know whether it's Kirby, one of those called North states. But he's a Christian. He'll give you the information. Say, what is this people called North? That it annoys him when two people will talk. Newspaper headline, North says. He said, the thing is very annoying. A few men will talk. And you now say, the North says. He said, what do you call the North? The guy has given you figures, facts. Anyway, the Lord is good. You know what I'm saying all of this again? I'm talking about a plowman plowing what? In hope. You don't have to go for a prayer meeting. Are you getting my point? I'm not saying you don't have to go. You don't have to go. But if you want to go, make sure you have the right mindset. Make sure you are thinking correctly. You get my point. I want to beg Christians to please abandon all these regional groups, OPC, MASOP, you know, those kind of things. You don't belong in any one of them. The ideologies are crazy. And most of those ideologies have no meaning. They don't have any foundation. They don't have any truth in them. Just a few angry people. You know what they call a few angry people? Just a few people that have been, they are just angry about some people. Some of them, their problem is they don't have money. If they had money, they won't be talking like that. So when you wake up in the morning, there's no food. Your brain starts imagining things. You start seeing visions of evil. When you haven't eaten, that's why I warned you against this reckless fasting. Before you start fasting in the morning, take a cup of tea. So that your brain, so you will know when you are seeing vision or when you are hallucinating. No, I'm serious about it. Olayinka one day came for a party. He said, are you not fasting? He said, after the party, I will start. Sounds funny, but a small truth inside that. I have to know when somebody is seeing visions or when he's hallucinating. It's important. Some people you are following, they are confused, they are angry. There was one girl they wanted to marry that time when they were young. You don't know. And they love this girl. Die. But the father was a Hausa man. And the mother, a Yoruba man. And he is an Igbo man. So they did not agree. And he hasn't forgiven them till today. So he will go and join myself. You won't know what this was. He won't tell you. You think that the guy, we are fighting for the advancement, equalization, this thing, fair treatment is a lie. He just said one day, if I catch that old man, he hasn't forgiven the man. But you won't know. On the surface, be careful who you follow. You know, I don't talk. Because if you go to the wrong places, you know, angels, they know they die. You know that? And if you read the scriptures, I don't think they change their assignment. Michael has been doing the same thing for a long time. Gabriel has been doing the same thing for a very long time. That angel that wanted to kill Jonah, that's why I'm telling the story, is still on some roads. That's what I'm talking about. You go on the wrong donkey for certain meetings that they didn't send you. One angel is waiting there. If your car jammed, thank God. If you have jammed that angel, if you're not there yet today, They tell the correct. You know what happened to is that say Jonah? I said Jonah earlier. I wanted to say Balaam. Huh? You know what happened to Balaam? In donkey jam war, some of your car don't jam gutter. He was running away from an angel. If a donkey can talk, a car too can develop sensor. We see angel, just move. I hope you are getting my point. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Why am I saying all of this? The plowman plows how? In hope. That's what I'm saying. He has to plow in hope. He has to have an expectation. He has to know this prayer I'm praying is not a joke. When you're a businessman, God, there are people that God has created to be, let me just use the word that Robert Kiyosaki used, capitalists. And they are still in this country. And God says, listen, what I want to do is to raise you up from here. So when you are doing your business and you are praying for the country, I want you to know that when it comes to it, one day, just have that faith that one day, Forbes, now listen, you know what I told you, what you do, what you say, is not just those words or the action, but the spirit behind it. So when I want to say what I'm saying, it's not the same spirit as the spirit of the world who wants to be great. You know, wants to be a rich man, all right? So please bear it in mind. No, all right, that Forbes also from here can list your name as one of the richest men in the world. So when you're doing your business and you pray your prayer, have that in mind. Don't let anybody just lie to you and say, hey, wait, you're talking about it. Listen, I was reading the other day. I don't know for where I was reading how Dangote was, how he beat somebody to be the richest black man and the richest African. I'm sure that man did not even plan it like that. And God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above what you can ask or think. And those two things are based on what you have seen before. Are you getting my point? So whatever you've seen before, God can do more than it. So when you are praying, you're praying for your country, you are praying for your business, you are praying for anything, have that one in mind. Do you get the point I'm making? Have it in mind, though. Have it in mind. That's when your prayer is effective. The plowman plows in what? Hope, with an expectation. He's not just saying, let's just pray just in case. Let me just say something. Say, what about those who prayed at the end of the day? God now said no, because it's happened before. Now let me just drop this one. Why you don't need to put that kind of provision in your mind is because what God does at such times is that when people have prayed like that, and if God now finds out that what they're asking, I can't do it for certain reasons. Not because it's impossible, but for certain reasons. Know what he does? He gives that individual a special privilege. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Like when God said, will you destroy, Abraham said, will you destroy the righteous and the wicked and everything? And he began to pray, if you find 10 righteous people, God he didn't find. So what did he do? He destroyed the place. But I'm not aware Abraham made any specific request for Lazarus, for Lot. No. But he definitely had Lot in mind. So what did God do? He specifically targeted the household of Lot and removed them to please Abraham. Do you get my point? So with God, just do the right thing. Don't worry about it. He said, what if I've had my children in the country? And listen, if you operated the way we are describing, let me say what I say all the time. It sounds funny, but it's the truth. God is not stupid. He knows. The Bible said, those that hopefully wait for him will never be put to shame. And many years ago, that was one prayer I prayed, you know. I finished talking with people. They will talk. They say, what is it? In fact, I heard people say it in my face. I'm sorry for you. And I will discuss with people, of course, in these days I don't do such things anymore. Not because my conviction has changed, but I've realized that there's no point arguing with a wall. You go there, this wall. I know they go, you will change it. You know, I saw that in one TV program. I said, look, you're arguing with a wall. So these days I've realized that when people start talking, I just shut up. But those that will argue and argue, I didn't realize that I was seeing what they were not seeing. And they were seeing what God did not allow me to make an important thing. Because they couldn't see what I was seeing, that was all they had. I saw what they had. I saw the giants. But I also knew that God was with us. And the reality of God being with me was so tangible to me. And many times people say to me, I'm sorry for you. One day I was talking to one sister. I just did something. She said that, the way you're going, your children will attend public schools. They are talking. And I was very angry with her that day. But I remember my own attitude. No, what's wrong with public schools? So the blessed wife delivered in a public hospital. You know, UK is not Nigeria. Tony Blair's wife was pregnant. You know, she had a baby when he was prime minister. When it was time to bump again, he go queue for their general hospital. Imagine Enugu state governor's wife won't bump again. He go park lane. That was what happened. You know, because it's not Nigeria. You know, in Nigeria, person go sick, disappear, go abroad. If you try that one in some of those countries, they sack you. They just sack you. They will impeach you. You know why? The hospital you say we should go to is not good enough for you, eh? Good. In fact, there are things, those would rather die. In fact, people are accountable, all right? I pray we'll get there in Jesus' name. Amen. In fact, it's already things that are already happening. Government is planning to ban some travel abroad for me that you can go, no wahala, but government is not paying. Which is good. There's no reason why a country like this, you know, I told you the other time, that they said the best educated group of people in the United States as of today are Nigerians. Oh, you haven't read it? If you give me your email, I'll forward these things to you. It's not Nigerians doing propaganda. It was a survey done by a Houston newspaper. They decided to do a survey. They said the most educated group of people in the United States as at, was it late last year or earlier this year, they did the study, are Nigerians. When I read it, instantly it flashed through my mind. I realized that most of the Nigerians I actually know myself, they are seriously educated people. One of my brothers, as one of my alumni fellowship members, left Nigeria with their MSc in petroleum engineering, paid his way to go in Texas A&M, did a PhD in petroleum engineering, working for Shell. I was just remembering, one, two, three. And they said, look, even when they come without degrees, the way they will walk. So my friend said he saw a Greek American asking him, what do you people do with this school, sir? A white man asking a Nigerian, why do you people go to school so much? Then one day he had two people discussing, they didn't know he was a Nigerian. Said, these Nigerians, they don't understand them. They're always in school.